Greetings, citizens of Earth. You are barking a happy tune with my pal Smurf of Smurf and the Magic Tones on 5280 Geek.
Live from the Figus Studios, it is Weekend Geek Update. Smurf here, the purveyor of all things nerdy and geeky that you need to know, or at least be aware of. We are coming out of the COVID. Everyone is doing fine. Spirits are high. People are shopping. The world is starting to get back to normal. It's just a matter of time before we can get the team back and give you your full money's worth. I'm sure everyone loves listening to the melodious sounds of my voice as it, tickles your ear holes. But, you know, a full team is much more entertaining than just I alone. And I get that. We are sponsored by Suzy Q, an amazing producer of jewelry that is unlike anything you have ever seen. It is bright. It is vibrant, it is durable, and something that is unique. And everyone's always looking for that one unique thing that nobody else has. This is definitely it. We will be posting up a link at the bottom of the post for her newsletter. Sign up, see what's going on, see some of the art that she's finishing for the latest batch of jewelry. And I can't explain the intricacies of it. It's a visual medium for sure. You have to go, you have to check it out, because it is absolutely stunning. Red has a pair of her earrings that she wears all of the time, and there are these magnificent bright orange, and they are awesome. Susie outdid herself with those, and you can have a piece too. So click on the link, sign up for her newsletter, and you're good. You're good to go. Anyway, what's going on with the world of nerd? Lots of stuff, actually. As we're starting to come out of everything, shows are getting back on track. News is starting to trickle out as far as what's been going on. And there have been some amazing stories that I'll get to in a second as far as people teaming up and working on things. And moving forward. Right now, of course, the shows that I've been watching that are coming to an end. So I have to admit, I bag on Supergirl a lot. It is very vanilla, but I love Melissa as Supergirl. And last year, about this time, when we heard John Cryer was, you know, taking on the mantle of Lex Luthor, and we all had our reservations, and for obvious reasons. We didn't want some neurotic head case from Two and a Half Men coming in and ruining probably one of DC's greatest villains. Obviously. But I have to say, with the last few episodes of Supergirl, and we're going into the season finale next week, holy crap, John Cryer as Lex Luthor is light years beyond anything I could have imagined. I mean, we're talking like Gene Hackman level of villainy. And just this week, him snapping like he did. And I'd honestly didn't see this coming from John Cryer, who, of course, right away, when I look at him, I automatically think comedic actor. You know, I don't think he has, you know, any reservoir of emotion or drama inside of him, but this week, if you don't watch any episode at all, that's fine, but at least watch this last one, because what he does as Lex is great, and he did a lot more in Crisis than I thought he would do as far as playing a role and how he delivered it, and I honestly think he stole the scenes. He really honestly did. And he continues to do that, and he's honestly upstaging a lot of the characters and actors in Supergirl. So I actually have to tip my hat to the group, the writing, the production staff that brought him in, because this was great. And then on the other side, holy crap, So Batwoman, I've been silent about for the entire season. I wanted to digest it, and I'll probably do a Smurfs take on this, so watch for that. But we got Hush. So I honestly, when you sit down and you look at these shows, you know that there are certain villains and criminals and storylines that they can't touch. They're off limits, and that's set on them by, you know, Warner Brothers. They probably have their own plans. They want, you know, contradiction or conflict, or heaven forbid the TV show does better than the movies. And they don't want, you know, someone taking the mythos and messing up the character. I get it. But they introduced Hush in Batwoman, and it is Tommy. So Thomas Elliot, who grew up with Bruce Wayne, is Hush. And we knew about it in the comics, and it's probably, it was my favorite Batman story of all time, but that's been replaced, and Court of Owls definitely is in the top, but damn. Anyway, getting Hush and their dedication to the character, his appearance, his mannerisms, it's amazing the detail that they went, even down to the pistols. They really did their homework. I applaud their dedication to it, and it was wonderful. I can't wait to see the season finale next week. I hope they don't kill off Hush. I would like to think that they wouldn't, just simply because of the implications, and they are following loosely the storyline of Thomas Elliot knowing Batman's identity, and he's kind of in that. So it's worth watching. The season has been good. It started a little weird, and you know, there are other little nuances, and it's just getting used to, of course, a new character, new city, and everything else. But it really kicked off after Crisis. We got past the growing pains quickly, thankfully, and it's been solid so far. And like I said, with Hush coming in, absolutely worth watching. Now with the internet side, oh my god, so as people have gotten bored, I can honestly just imagine just emails, messages, direct messages going out to people and celebrities. The one thing that I saw that really cracked me up, and I'll have to find it again, Morgan Freeman, who it's got a voice of butter, decided to do a play-by-play of a woman doing the Mentos challenge. So it's this elderly woman sitting in a chair who obviously had no clue what she was about to do, and heard, I'm sure, her grandkids or somebody talking about the Mentos challenge. So she's got this big 2-liter bottle of soda, and Morgan Freeman's voice is doing the whole play-by-play. It is absolutely hilarious. And of course, she drops the Mentos into the 2-liter, and it explodes all over her, of course, like it's supposed to. But what really, really, like, closes this down for me was Morgan Freeman just completely sarcastic, just amazing, as he calls the shots of what's about to happen. This poor woman just eating shit with the the soda. It just cracks me up thinking about it. If you can find it, I don't know where I saw it. I'm sure it was on the interwebs, somewhere on Facebook. Somebody had to share it. It was absolutely, absolutely worth it. Because, oh, just to hear his voice. Just to hear him going at it. Also, in Teaming Up news, So the teaming up, and this is like worlds colliding for me. I mean, it is absolute perfection, and I couldn't think of anything better. So everybody knows my love for Guy Fieri as well as Gordon Ramsay, huge fans. But Guy Fieri doing his play-by-play and recapping of older episodes on Wednesday or Thursday nights. for Guy's Grocery Games is classic. His hair is completely out of control. Him hanging out with his son, great. So now it has actually been elevated to a new level. And it involves none other than Ghostbuster alum Bill Murray. And they are going to compete in a live nacho-making contest. And I am amazed that they even thought of this, and they're going to do it. The Nacho Average Showdown, quote, is what they're going to be calling it, it's a live event to raise money for Fieri's Restaurant Employee Relief Fund, which we talked about a couple episodes ago, brought that up, and, you know, he's 100% of everything that he gets in donations is going to go to restaurant workers, and he's right around I don't know where he's at actually, because I know he wanted to get up to $100 million, and he's doing whatever he can to raise the funds and help people with $500 grants to help them through, because right now I think the estimate is right around 8 million restaurant workers are currently unemployed by the last tally. So he's trying to do his part, and that's great. So him and Bill Murray are going to team up, and this is going to stream on the Food Network's Facebook page. It will be May 15th, which is Friday. What is today? The 12th? Yeah, Friday. Friday at 5 p.m. And I cannot wait. I guess there's going to be a few celebrity judges that will be helping this. Shaquille O'Neal, who strikes me a little bit odd. And, of course, Terry Crews, who can do no wrong in my mind, just because it's Terry Crews and he is a badass. And I think the personality that man brings to the table is absolutely, he needs to host this. So, because if Guy is actually competing with Murray, then, yeah, someone's got to do the blow-by-blow, dip-by-dip, if you will, of what's going on to see who wins this. Tostitos, of course, is like one of the big sponsors, I'm sure, if you're going to put someone in there for sponsoring a nacho throwdown, it might as well be Tostitos, right? And what other chips are worthy? Oh, you could get those like real big, like from Costco. Oh, they're the perfect right of salt. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Friday, I'm not going to miss this. Neither should you, because I'm curious to see what kind of nonsense Murray is going to bring. Because anytime he does anything, any live appearance that he shows up for, he's already got something in mind. It's a show. It's absolutely a show. So to see what he has in store is absolutely going to be worth being right there up front and center. So check it out on the Facebook page, and it is the Food Network's page. So like it and be sure to join in. I mean, what else have you got to do, right? What else have we got going on? Ooh, so on the video side, something that I saw in passing, because as I've been binging, I've visited, you know, a bunch of older movies and everything else, and I'm so excited about this. I don't know where to go to get it, because I can't, unless it shows up at, like, Walmart. Flash Gordon has been restored in 4K, so cheesy sci-fi film, but so worth watching, and just for the Queen soundtrack alone, and oh my god, just to see that in clarity and the special effects, it is going to be even cheesier than Bill Murray and Guy Fieri. I'm telling you, this is going to be worth watching. This, if you have kids and you have not introduced them to Flash Gordon, oh, you're depriving them. This is classic TV, classic cinema. You need to spread the wealth. Make sure you sit down and watch it. And it's a fun little flick. A little special effects could use some help, but it's still fun. And Why not? Come on. Also, in news, also Ghostbuster alum, Dan Aykroyd is going to be doing the narration of a new show that is going to be on TNE. It is called Hotel Paranormal. And Aykroyd will sit down and narrate as they reenact some of people's experiences in hotels across the country. And I also think there's a reaccountment from Aykroyd as far as why he's so much into the paranormal with his family's history and all of that, in addition to where he stands on it. At least the video and the trailer that I saw for it, he goes over a little bit of it and his history, his beliefs. But the cool thing about this is the reenactments that they're doing for Hotel Paranormal look great. I mean, it is right up there with, like, the murder mysteries of, you know, A&E. You know, it's perfect. So the special effects are, you know, a little cheesy, but worth it. The reenactments are great. And just to hear Aykroyd narrate it, and he does bring up some amazing points, because his philosophy, he's a believer, but he's still kind of a skeptic. He's in that gray area of there's something there that it needs explaining. It's just that we lack the ability or the understanding to explain it properly. So to hear that from Aykroyd is kind of reaffirming, and you're like, okay, so there's some kind of credibility to it. Also, he brings up a great point with the hotels, and of course, me being a Ghostbuster and have done my own investigations and everything, there is some creepy shit that I've seen that I can kind of explain. But the hotels being like the foundation for the storytelling is brilliant. So I don't know if they go up to the Stanley. I think that would be too obvious. And there's other hotels and other places across the country that you can visit. The Stanley's been beaten to death with investigations, with people going in there. Myself, Brian Bonner, who's been on the podcast with me. Let's just face it. Everybody's been there. And everyone has similar stories. But at this point, are the stories contaminating the pool? I mean, everybody kind of has heard it. Everyone, of course, has seen The Shining. So there's kind of these residual stories that kind of echo out. But other hotels, to hear their stories and people's accountments. So these people have come forward to describe and talk about their experiences in these various hotels. And it only makes sense as people have traveled that they have left, you know, their own residual haunts or whatever thing behind them as they go through it. And Aykroyd even talks about it. He's all like, you know, it's like, you know, a boat going through a lake. You cause a wave. So after a few, you know, years, 50, 60 years of a hotel being, you know, in one place, all of these people coming through, absolutely there should be maybe some residual energy, other haunts, people that have passed away unexpectedly. And Lord knows what happened before it was a hotel. So there's some great points, and I'm excited. I haven't seen when this is coming out on TNE, but it's going to be a new original series. And I think it's a little bit better than, like, the Ghost Hunters and all of that. I know. I said it. Because there's only so much you can do. Even the Expedition Unknown, Expedition X ghost hunting stuff with Lisa Chova has been entertaining. Of course, they go to the Island of the Dolls, which I at least at some point want to do. I know it's creepy. Dolls are right up there with clowns for most people, but just to step onto the island and just see, because the footage that you see from Expedition X with Lisa going in there and just how creepy all of the dolls, but you see things like shadows in the background moving, the dolls kind of twitch and move when there's no breeze, and it is so creepy. There is definitely something on that island. But other than that, they do some fun stuff on Destination, or not Destination, Expedition X. Check it out. It's on the Travel Channel, since nothing else is going on. I've been rewatching those, and Josh Gates' after late. It's like a 15-minute little short of Josh sitting in his office talking to you. It's worth watching if you're into that kind of thing. Because let's face it, not everybody's into it. What else is going on? Talked about that. I think we talked enough about the comic book industry's woes. Shops will be opening if they are not already, and we will see new comics later this month as just a reminder. I'm not sure what is going on. Diamond has some difficulties. Some comic shops have tried to seek other ways, trying to avoid using Diamond, or just can't wait on them. My question, and I was talking to a couple of industry pros about this, what happens to the independent publisher, the indie guys, you know, like Image, and how are they going to get their stuff out? When are we going to see them? Because I know, of course, Marvel and DC, you know, bring out the guns blazing. Let's ship this product. Let's get it going. But the independent guys, you know, you've got the smaller presses. What's their status? We haven't seen a list. I've gotten a list of what will be coming out over the next couple of weeks from DC and Marvel. But nowhere on that list do I have anything else from anyone in regards to independent. Because as much as I love Marvel and DC, I really honestly believe that a lot of the, I don't know, creative stories, I don't want to say creative stories, but definitely some of the more driving stories and inventive stuff, definitely non-cape, is coming out of the independents. Dark Horse always brings their A game when they put out a book. Unfortunately, they just, their titles are a little lean, and I'm waiting for the next Hellboy with the artwork from our local guy, Zach Howard, which the first issue was, oh my God, stunning and absolutely amazing. I'm sad that Zach is only doing two issues. I really wish that they would find some way to talk Zach into staying on full time, because that issue of Hellboy that he did was, wow, absolutely perfect. Fit the character, everything. Pick it up. I know the second issue should have already been out at this point, so I don't know when we're going to see it. And the same thing with Image. Image has got some great stuff. Of course, everybody knows my love for Middle West, in addition to a lot of their other stuff. Been rereading a lot of the trades that I, you know, since there's nothing new, went back to Manhattan Project, which is absolutely great. Hickman's the writer on that one, and it kind of explores the side if Albert Einstein came from another dimension to replace our Albert Einstein and started this whole world weird. It's great. If you haven't read Manhattan Project yet, you need to. I think there's only 6 trades in the series. Yeah, I think. I don't know. I have to look that up. That one I don't know. But also, speaking of comics, Jim Lee is continuing to pump out original art for people to bid on eBay, and the funds 100% go to help comic books. It is the charitable foundation, or excuse me, Book Industry Charitable Foundation. Did you get that right? There is a link that is provided on Jim Lee's page right now that you can go visit, or when you go on to eBay to bid on the art, automatically all the art or all the money raised goes to that fund. He has now added Mark Silvestri in his bullpen of artists that are doing original art. And Silvestri, in my mind, is another phenomenal artist that I absolutely love. Because you've got, in my mind, Jim Lee, Mark Silvestri, Joe Mad, that are just on levels all of their own. Each one has a different style. Each one is absolutely unique in how they draw and their presentation of characters. But to have them all together, all former X-Men artists, of course, I don't know if Joe Mad's doing it, but of course, all of them have done a run on the X-Men. Silvestri's run on Wolverine was made that series, in my mind, back in the early aughts. But to have him on there and a chance to get some original Silvestri art, absolutely. I don't know where they're at as far as how much money has been raised at this point, but Jim Lee still continues to knock out some amazing pencils, and I know some of them have been inked, and I can't, I wish I had that kind of disposable income that I could just buy all of them, because they look great. I could decorate my entire comic room with just original Jim Lee art and retire on it. Yeah, not going to happen. But it's a great cause, and if you can, foot, you know, one, maybe two pieces. I know we're in, like, a couple thousands of dollars so far, and that's fine. All of it goes to a great cause, and if you can swing it, if you got that much room on a credit card, maybe the next stimulus check comes, you can jump in and drop it on a Jim Lee art piece. Absolutely. So check it out. And like I said, all of the funds go to the Book Industry Charitable Foundation. And just some of the pieces are so good. Also on Facebook, we did share this when it happened. Andy Serkis. He read The Hobbit for one day. It was like Tuesday last week? Friday? No, Friday. Friday last week. Had to remember. I'm sure you could probably find this on his page. But it was awesome to have Gollum read The Hobbit all the way from cover to cover in the course of an afternoon, morning afternoon. It was priceless. There was some times as you're watching the video, he messes up a little bit, which you can understand. And he was, you know, trying to do voices for characters, which he did the majority of the time. But you can tell there were times, and this is understandable because The Hobbit is I still think in my mind that Lord of the Rings is the far superior literary piece over The Hobbit. But for intents and purposes and for this exercise, I get it. But there were times you could tell Andy wasn't exactly 100% that if the character was talking or it was the narration to move the story along. So there are a couple times that he'll switch voices. But him just doing this was great. I mean, I didn't in a million years, because you've seen this so far. You've seen different celebrities like Henry Winkler. Oh, my God. I'd have Henry Winkler read me the freaking TV guide or the back of a cereal box. He's just so genuine and has such a gentle touch to his reading and how he talks. Henry Winkler all day long. But all these different celebrities have started doing readings. You have Patrick Stewart that is reading Shakespeare every night to people. The ideas and the creative energy that the celebrities are putting forth is unparalleled. And to have Andy read The Hobbit to everybody was a stroke of genius. You see him because he's all set up. They've got video on him. And he's obviously in his den, but he's got this huge Gollum statue. And I know I've seen it because it's done the tours for the cons. In fact, I even remember seeing it at Denver Comic Con a couple years ago. It's where Schmeagle is on the rock with the fish in the second film. Third film. And it's right there next to him. He's got a bunch of different other little knickknacks behind him, and he's got his tablet in front of him, drinking tea, of course, because that's what you do when you read The Hobbit. And he's just sitting there, totally getting into character. Definitely go over to his page. It is amazing. If you got nothing else to do to spend and for an afternoon for Friday, sure. It worked really well. I hope that they take a page from this and do more. Because we're seeing a lot of everyone doing, you know, the video things. I know that Parks and Rec, I talked about it a couple weeks ago, that they were doing the video conference of bringing everybody together. And that was kind of cool. I was surprised that they actually had, you know, Mr. Star-Lord on. They got the entire team back together for a quick little, you know, hour special, which was kind of cool. It was worth the watch. Strange to see everyone in their house and how they kind of worked it out editing wise, but it was fine. It was fun. But this is a whole new New level. Absolutely. And I think that if they're on their game, they need to do Lord of the Rings. Even if it... I know, God, those books are so huge, though. You would honestly have to get... I think someone to step in and just kind of shorten up some of the book, doing an abridged edition, maybe, perhaps, maybe a thought. If anyone's listening, that is. And moving along, this was great. So this kind of actually came out right after I did the podcast last week, and I was sad because I really wish I could have talked about it then. But Kate Blanchett is going to be playing Lilith in the new adaptation for Borderlands by Lionsgate, and I have mixed feelings about this. When I first read the story, I was a little like, maybe? I don't know. I mean, Kate Blanchett is a huge fan. I've grown more of a fan of Kate Blanchett as I've seen her in different roles with Thor and with the Oceans franchise with her and Sandra Bullock. She's a phenomenal actress. And then when she was in The Clock in the Walls with Jack Black, absolutely, this woman is so flexible in her roles and how she presents herself. And it's amazing. But when I start thinking about Borderlands, I don't know. I'm so on the fence. I know a lot of Borderlands is the story. And it is it's a very... character-rich, eccentric, extreme characterization of a dystopian world, all right? Which, with different crop-ups of ludicrousness, it's the best thing I can call it. But I don't know if most of it is just the art style that helps translate the Borderlands story, or if it's actually the story behind the characters. So this could either really go one way or the other. I don't know how I feel about this, because at first totally in on this, and the writer right now, the latest draft for the script is done by Craig Mazin. So I'm curious to see what they do. Eli Roth is set to direct the film with Avi Arad, and I'm excited, but I'm also very hesitant for those reasons, because it could be great, and it's not that I have any doubts in Kate Blanchett's acting skills, but she's the only actress named so far. In addition to what's that story going to be like? You can only do so much with a script. You can't save it all the times. The actor can't always save it. So it could be fun. And I know her appearance in Lord of the Rings and Thor, definitely huge, memorable moments. And maybe this will be another one. We'll see. And of course, huge love for the Borderlands game series. I've gone back and forth with Stash on this one, and I've played the games, and I'm really all about it. And it's great because Pandora is unlike anything else in a video game world, and I do love the vault hunting, and I do love everything about the game. But we know from the past that games don't always translate well, and Sonic being the only success so far. Really. I mean, Pokemon, I guess, kind of is a game. But it was a card game first, and there was a ton of animation movies and all of that that they could work on. So, we'll see. But I'm going to watch this one closely, just from the standpoint of being a fan. Just because. I don't know if I'll ever go see it, if it comes out. If it comes out. That's the other part. Just because it's announced... And everyone's planning. Best laid plans of men. Also, speaking of in the works,
they have decided to... King Features is picking up the Popeye movie. We talked about this, I think, a couple years ago, actually, that the Popeye 3D animated film, which they did this great trailer for, and they laid down some initial concept art that we shared and we talked about. Genndy Tartakovsky is the gentleman behind the animation on this, and they are revisiting it. So even though production shut down, they decided they weren't going to do this, have decided to get back to it. Sony Animation is the one that pulled the plug on this right around 2012. So I'm not surprised, especially with everything that's going on, especially with the passing of Popeye's director that just happened. I can't think of his name at the moment. But the poor gentleman passed away just recently. He was the art and director for Popeye and for Gene Dyke. There we go. Gene just passed away at 95 to natural causes. But he was the director and helped in animation of Tom and Jerry and Popeye back in the day. So to see this kind of come around, and I'm almost kind of sad that, you know, Gene's not going to actually see it to fruition, to see it actually happen. But I wanted to see this ages ago. So, but of course, when Sony was working on this project, it got kind of shelved, and you get, you know, Hotel Transylvania, which kind of, you know, superseded it and took it over, which was fine. Hotel Transylvania actually is hilarious for an Adam Sandler film. Who knew? But we'll see what happens. I'm excited that we finally would get to see the thing, the movie, the animation. It looks great if they follow through. If Sony's got this weird track record of just like working on stuff and then all of a sudden, never mind. I know that King Features is also working on a Cuphead animated series. And we talked about that a while ago, based on the video game and Aaron and I, Private Cheeseburger, Double A Ron, working on, you know, playing Cuphead, which is, God, one of the most difficult side-scrolling games ever. Holy crap, that thing makes Mega Man just look, you know, like a walk in the park, or the old school DuckTales film, or old school DuckTales game. Blah, blah, blah. Coffee. So, with all that said, what does that mean to you? If you're a Popeye fan, it means great. If you're a Cuphead fan, which most everybody else is, we don't know. We haven't heard anything more on the animation or the project for Cuphead. We heard it was announced and that's what they were moving forward with. But as of yet, we have not seen any animation, any news on it. So this may fall down. We'll keep you in the loop. Also, on the other side of streaming, Jordan Peele's Twilight Zone drops season 2 trailer today, actually. And I don't know. So here's how I feel about this. The first season of Jordan Peele's Twilight Zone was interesting. It misses Rod Serling, okay? And as much as I'm a huge Twilight Zone fan, I'm dedicated to the series. I'm going to watch it. Don't kid yourself. I am going to watch this, whether I like it or not. Simply because I want to support it. I love Jordan Peele's dedication to the craft and his take on it. But he's not Rod Serling. And I know he wants to be... Hell, I want to be Rod Serling. That man was the shit, all right? That man was smooth as butter. But there's only one Rod Serling. And to try and... I know it's in, you know, homage to Rod Serling with doing the intro the way you have to do it. But some of the characters and some of the stories were just... eh. It missed the subtlety of the political impact and the statement that always left you scratching your head of how the story ended. When Rod came in and gave you his final thought on the episode. And I know they're trying hard. And to have a season two so soon, they probably filmed them all and they're just breaking it up. This will be on the CBS streaming site, which is fine because, you know, I've been, the free sample is still going on and it's going to premiere like really, really close, like June 25th close. So we won't have long to wait. And it lands at the perfect time. I saw in the trailer Joe McHale is in there. Christopher Maloney is in there. So I'm really excited. And I don't know. I still just, my takeaway from season one was, okay, it wasn't bad. Thanks for reintroducing or inviting people into the Twilight Zone world. And we'll see. The special effects and the sets are tremendous. I mean, they did not waste any money on building these worlds. There's definite money that CBS is throwing at this. So from a visual standpoint, well worth watching. Stories, like I said, okay, we'll see. I'm excited just to have more Twilight Zone. I'm excited just to have anything to watch at this point because I'm a little, like, there's nothing left. I mean, you got, like, Masked Singer and, yeah, and everyone's, like, jumping on me about that. Because nobody likes Nick Cannon. I don't know why. Poor guy. Because it's Nick Cannon. And you love to hate him, right? Is that it? But Gordon Ramsay on Masked Singer was hilarious. He just seems so out of his element. Put that man back in a kitchen. So like I said, June 25th, we will see the return of Twilight Zone. CBS streaming. If you don't have the free sampler, pick it up. Watch this. And on the other side of it, holy crap, go and watch Picard. Cannot talk enough great things about Picard. Relevance, characters, special effects. The whole thing was so well done. Oh my god. Homage to all Trek fans, all sci-fi fans. That is sci-fi, and sci-fi done well. Picard. There you go. There's my plug. Moving on to the other side of streaming, the Disney Plus world has exploded over the last couple of days. So, The Mandalorian, which, let's face it, is Disney Plus's major Star Wars hit. The Clone Wars finished out this last week. Epic ending and perfect ending. Let me just say that. It was probably one of the best endings that I could have imagined for an animated show. It was better than Rebels, which just annoyed me, and a lot of the other animated sides. And it really, I think they got together and they actually planned. They actually laid things out as far as how they want things to break down. So, end of Clone Wars. I'm not going to give you any spoilers. Perfect ending. So now, it looks like, with the announcement of Ahsoka making her appearance in The Mandalorian, which is perfect, especially with Rosario Dawson playing that character. And you can even see it as you're watching Clone Wars. I can totally see Rosario Dawson as Ahsoka. It's a perfect fit. But now they're taking it up even further. So season two, we're getting Boba Fett, which makes absolute sense. And I'll tell you why. Boba Fett didn't die. If you are a fan of the novels that follow afterwards, we know that basically the Sarlacc pit spit Boba Fett back out because he couldn't be digested. And there's a whole story around that. But with Disney taking over and what's canon and what's not, I'm curious to see how they're going to play this. If we're going to get a flashback of Boba Fett getting spit out by the Sarlacc pit, which that actually might be kind of fun. But it's not a big surprise. And we're getting Temuera Morrison, who played Jango Fett, clones, the whole like, as Boba Fett. So this is amazing. This is perfect. So we're going to have, I think, an appropriately aged Boba Fett at the end of Return of the Jedi, as we should. So to get him signed on, to see Boba Fett, really raises some cool questions about the Mandalorians, what will take place, and how the story is going to evolve. And I think this is going to be a lot more Mandalorian focus, because with how they left it and the cliffhanger of what happened to the Mandalorians, what went on in Mandalore, and the end of Clone Wars, there's so much questions and turmoil and everything going on that I what happened? Who? What? Where? What canon are we looking at? Who's writing this? And with Filoni, you know, spearheading it, it's great. And Jon Favreau, I think, is on probably one of the best runs that could possibly happen. And then with the ending of, you know, Moff Gideon, it's perfect. It's everything is set up. And now that what just got released is even better. So speaking of Clone Wars, Bo-Katan, this female Mandalorian that is voiced by Katee Sackhoff, she shows up in the battle, in the fight, as they're running, you know, Darth Maul off the planet, has signed on to basically take on the role in Season 2 of The Mandalorian. So we're going to see her basically in full armor from the animated series. So this is actually kind of turning out to be great. So, I mean, it's not like Katee Sackhoff can't fit into the armor. I mean, the woman is fit. So, and it's going to be the exact same voice that we're hearing in the animated show. This is great. The details and the dedication that these people are showing for The Mandalorian, if only they would do this for the films. God, they would be monsters at the box office. But the positive side of this is they're saying that a lot of the filming for Sackhoff as Bo-Katan has already been filmed. They did this back in February, according to sources, and which is cool. So they've been sitting on this for a while. They planned this appropriately. So even before the shutdown, everything else, Disney got this into the can. And they're saying that there will not be a delay for the release of the Season 2 for The Mandalorian. So, again, they probably did a lot of the filming up front, and they're just doing the special effects. So, I can't wait to see what happens next. I mean, just it's an opus in my mind as far as what they're doing for The Mandalorian and for the Star Wars franchise. Speaking of franchises and Disney+, Marvel announced they're doing a new series called The Fury Files. And this is another one that's going to be hitting really quick. The date, I think, on this was May 15th. So Friday, we'll see this on Disney+. And it's a mixture of animation and comic book motion art. So we're going to get some new stuff. We're going to get clips from other shows and series that mesh together to kind of look like, I think, as Fury does a rundown on the files, as far as his information and everything that he has on intelligence for Marvel heroes and villains. This will be interesting. Chi McBride is going to be doing the voice of Nick Fury. And that, I think, is probably the the worst part of this, because I think if you had actually gotten Samuel L. Jackson to voice Fury, I think it would have been a little bit more gripping. It would have definitely drawn me a little bit quicker to this. With it being animated, it might be interesting. I guess it depends on how they do the animation from the comic, the motion comic art. Because that is kind of fun, but it's also a little jarring at times, depending upon how well it's done. There are going to be, you know, pulling from, you know, Earth's Mightiest Avengers and the Heroes, the X-Men, the animated series. All of that stuff is going to be in there according to what Disney's releasing. So it will be, at least it's something different, and they're trying to carry on, you know, the Marvel franchise. I know Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. announced that Patton Oswalt will be making a return appearance for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for their final season, which will be popping up here really soon. And that, I'm finally, you know, happy that they're going to finish. And Patton Oswalt absolutely needs to be in the finale. Hopefully they'll get Fury as Samuel L. Jackson. And then, you know, they started with him. They might as well end with him. I'm going to watch this probably over the weekend, leisurely. I'm not going to be actively, you know, invested in this one. But at least up front, Disney's trying. And they're trying to give stuff to the fans that they want, that they like, and that everyone's excited to see. Also, on the Disney front, DuckTales Season 3, David Tennant is recording from a closet at his home. David Tennant, of course, voices the billionaire duck himself, Mr. Scrooge McDuck, and it is, you know what, this DuckTales is fun, and it's more, because at first, the nephews I didn't like. I'm just going to say I hated the nephews. I wanted to see the rest of the Duckburg. I wanted to see everything else that was going on, anything other than the nephews. But it's, you know what, they got better. They grew on me, and it's something that I have enjoyed. And the characters that they brought in, they've brought in Gizmo Duck, they brought in Darkwing, they've definitely, and when we had, you know, talked about this in the past, maybe they've kind of, you know, wrote themselves into a box on a couple of them, and we'll see how they do it. But it's fun, and it's refreshing, and it's DuckTales, and you got Launchpad, of course, so it works. Now, they are saying that season 3 may not air for a while, and that the rumble for Ragnarok is going to be the last that we will see of DuckTales for some time. With Tennant, of course, doing his lines and all of that to try and get that, you know, perfect harmonic sound from a closet in his house is kind of interesting. I mean, I've seen pictures of David Tennant since the lockdown, and oh my god, he needs a haircut just the same as everybody else. But oh man, that man just hair for days. He looks like a disheveled homeless person. But that said, I think he's great as Scrooge McDuck. He totally works. And it's perfect for him. I miss him as the Doctor, of course. We'll see if he, you know, makes a reprise role in any of the, you know, new Marvel films as the Purple Man. But the one thing that I wanted to give you as a walk away is the Bad Samaritan that he did with the independent film. Phenomenal. Holy crap. That was an incredible role for Tennant. He plays the creepiest character so convincingly in this show, this movie. If you haven't watched it yet, I think it's actually on, I think it's on Amazon. And it is so creepy. Need to watch this. Add it to your list as a must watch, because it's something I wouldn't have expected from Tenet at all, and it works. It really, really does well. So add that to your list. On video game news, I want to talk about the new Xbox, but I want Aaron here. The pictures in the press release for the Xbox are out. Microsoft did kind of like the Nintendo thing again, where you know they talk about it. They show clips. They didn't really go into a kind of like a whole E3 type of scenario, but it's out there. Nothing's been released yet as far as dates, and I think Xbox is still trying to get their feet under them as far as how they want to push this out. But I really want Aaron here. If he's not here next week, I'm definitely going to go over what I feel about the new Xbox and how it shapes up as far as stats with current and other platforms that have been rumored to hit coming up. So look for that next week. If Aaron is here, then, hey, him and I can go toe-to-toe and talk about how awesome it is. Or maybe on the other podcast with Stash, because I'm sure he's probably up to date on it. So, that said, couple of new video game news. One, of course, is Tony Hawk, Pro Skater 1 and 2 remasters have been officially announced. So we're going to get some remastered Tony Hawk stuff. I haven't played Tony Hawk since, like, God, early Nintendo. So I think, you know, a actual joystick or thumbsticks versus a pad is going to help tremendously in this game. They're saying that the release date on this already is going to be September 4th of 2020. So this year, the end of summer, we're going to see this. They are saying that it will be on all of the platforms, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PCs. So this actually might be kind of fun, a nice little trip down memory lane. I'd be curious to see the updates on, you know, what they've done and how the gameplay is. I mean, it's a skate game. I mean, it gets kind of monotonous, and you can only do so many, you know, tricks and all of that, and I'm curious to see what the unlocks would be and how they're going to do that. It is going to be available for $39.99 as a deluxe digital version, but it also will be available in physical as a normal $49.99, and there's a collector's edition, which is the big $99.99 price tag. And they have not said... oh, yeah, they did. There is some extra digital content for the collector's edition, and it is going to feature a brick house deck that's going to be released. So that's kind of cool. The new board? Yeah. Yeah, listen to me. I haven't been on a skateboard in years. Last thing I'm going to do is get on one, break a freaking hip. Nope. But it would look cool. Totally on that. Now, this is just a report, and I don't know if I'm buying in on it, but it was too good to look the other way and not talk about. Diablo 2, the remastered, is arriving later this year. So it's been kind of kicked around that it was in the works, and I didn't believe it. But according to a lot of sources, and one of them also is this French gaming outlet called Actune Gaming, is suggesting that Blizzard is actually closer to being done with this than anyone really anticipated. And I'm sure with the slowdown and the everyone in hibernation, gave them a little extra time to just focus primarily on projects that were already in the works instead of, you know, doing multiple ones at the same time. The new remastered will be titled The Devil Will Rise Again. And if you're a Diablo fan, I loved this game series back in the day. I loved the consumable aspect. It got really frustrating, but it was a great component to the game that you had to watch the status of your weapons. You went through stuff. Your weapons deteriorated over time. It was so well thought out, and it was a great RPG. It really was. So I'm with Blizzard doing this, it does stand to reason that they would take their time, and I'm excited. I really am. They've done so well with Overwatch, with Borderlands, and I know that they've been... See, then this is what didn't make sense to me, because if they were working on this one, who's been working on it? Because Overwatch 2, of course, has been, you know, everyone's talking about it, everyone's been working on that one. And there was rumors earlier in the year of Diablo 4, and, of course, the World of Warcraft, they have their big release of Shadowlands coming. So there's a lot coming out of Blizzard. So to hear the news that this is going to actually hit, I'm actually more interested in Diablo the Resurrected than I am of Overwatch 2, to be honest with you. I think that they really need to think about what they're doing with Overlands or Overwatch 2, but I'm not. Well, anyway, we'll see. Maybe, you know what? Maybe Overwatch 2 will be everything that I wanted in a video game and just didn't know it. We'll keep up on top of the Diablo storyline, because I don't know if it's going to happen. Like I said, it's a rumor, but it's a really good solid rumor right now that I can't pay attention. I cannot pay attention to it. So, there you go. That just about covers it for this week in the Geek Sphere. Please, please, please like us, share us. If you've got questions and you got comments, by all means, please hit me up on the direct message or the links below. I'm always around. I'm always available. And like I said, like us, share us, subscribe. Please spread the word, because we're not only a podcast, we are a way of life, because it's we're in this together. We want to entertain you. We want to have a better world on the other side when we get out. So run fast, laugh hard, and always be kind.